Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the lab of the world famous Hollywood Improv. Everyone make some noise. We're excited to have you here tonight. Your storytelling story smash. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the creator and host of Story Smash, Christine Blackburn.
Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. I am your host, Christine Blackburn. And we have such an amazing lineup for you guys tonight. By round of applause, who has never been to Story Smash? What is happening? Where have you been? Okay, listen, you guys, we have an amazing show lined up for you guys, and we'll get started right away, and we will reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel, and there's one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel. And if they land on audience, well, then that's when you guys come into play, and you'll throw out some of the storytelling topics that you'd like to hear about. So start thinking about it, because somebody always lands on audience. And then our expert judges will choose one of those topics for the contestant to use as their topic. Yeah? Okay, so start thinking of your story topics, and let's get right to the judges. Right away, we'll get started. Our first judge coming to the stage right now is one of the funniest people on Twitter you will ever follow. He's also a writer on Mystery Science Theater 3000 and lots of award shows. This guy also happens to be a very, very fabulous photographer, and you can see his work on Instagram as well. So you guys, please put your hands together for Matt Oswalt. All right, you guys, this next talented judge has had a fabulous career in radio. She first started working with Tim Conway Jr., and she's currently the news girl at the Adam Carolla podcast. Recently, she started a new podcast with another one of my favorite people, Teresa Strasser, and it's called Easy Listening. You can find it anywhere you listen to your podcast. Please put your hands together for Gina Grad. I love this girl, you guys. You're one of my favorite judges ever, Gina. I swear to God. All right, you guys, could you turn it down just a tiny bit? All right, you guys, coming up right now, our last judge. He's a comedy writer and an author and an artist who's best known for writing and producing on Seinfeld for 9 years. Some of the episodes that he wrote on or co-wrote include the Yada 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 episode, The Sponge, The Showerhead, The Hamptons, and it goes on and on, The Smelly Car. He's also contributed articles to the Washington Post, GQ, Esquire, and the New York Times Magazine. Plus, he's authored 2 very successful books, Mandela Was Late, and it won't always be this great. You guys, put your hands together for Peter Melman. Come on. All right, you guys. Wow, what a lineup. Now, all 3 of these judges have played the game before, so they know what they're doing. Yes?
Sure.
Now, as a reminder, you guys are going to be judging on 3 things. First of all, the ability to stay on the topic. The story, that makes sense. And then finally, the time. And that's really one of the most important factors because the first round, there's 3 rounds. First round, 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Second round, 2 minutes, twice the fun. Third round, 3 minutes. And if they go over their time, then they're going to hear this. No good. Story over. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're going to go right to the judges.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the whole game right there, Peter.
Okay.
Now, the winner tonight is going to be winning my homemade chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
All of them?
All of them. All of them. They may share.
$100 bill is in each one of them, right?
And 100, exactly right. And now here's the most important thing. When the contestant comes to the stage, I'll say to you guys, tell him what to do, and then you'll say,
spin that wheel.
Wow. They really got that.
They're well trained.
They are. It's also on the back of your clipboard, Gina, if they need to, you know.
A little reminder.
A little reminder
for the audience.
That's wonderful. Wow.
Okay, Peter. Any thoughts? You're back. This is like the 4th or 5th time you've judged this show.
Yeah, I never have gotten it quite right, so I came back.
I think you're a good judge.
I think tonight's the night for Peter.
Yeah. This could be.
Yeah.
Well, I took judging is good, you know, because I took the LSAT.
Yeah. You took the LSAT?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I took the law boards, yeah.
And did you, say that again?
Yeah, I took the law boards, yeah.
You did? In what state?
Maryland.
In Maryland. Did you ever pass the bar? Did you
No, I didn't go to law school. I just took the boards.
Oh, I see. Get out of here.
Is Matt that not enough?
Yeah, no, that's a lot. That's a lot more than I did. Matt, you happy to be here?
Very happy. Are you kidding?
Okay.
I met up on stage with people who exclusively finished college, am I?
Yeah, I think you're
like a real
asshole.
I finished college.
I did not take the LSAT or whatever, but I did,
Yeah, I finished.
Have a degree.
Oh, okay. I'm usually, when it's radio people, I'm usually not on a stage with people who finish college.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll help you interpret the stories
you need.
Okay. University of Kansas, Rock Chalk, J-Rock, OKU, anybody? Not a big show. Okay, okay. And she graduated? Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, you guys, there's five. Actually, there's four names in the hat, and then there's one more name that says audience. And if we pull the audience member, then Matt, you'll go ahead and you'll choose from that bucket. Ooh, people have been putting their names in there. You'll choose a name out.
Yes.
And they'll come to the stage. And I got to tell you guys, this is not easy. This is not an easy game. So please, give all your love
and
support.
We had one audience member make it to the finals one show.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often.
She spoke no English, and she still made it to the finals.
That's right. Well, she was super hot. I think that might have been part of the...
Very hot.
Yeah, she was super hot. Yeah. You're still friends. Yeah. All right, you guys, I just pulled a name. And so this first contestant coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story. She is a regular at the Laugh Factory. Woo! She also tours around the country. And in May, she debuts on Netflix. Yes, she does. I can't wait. Please welcome to the stage, Mindy Rickles. All right, guys, tell her what to do. And we're off. All right, hooking
up.
All right.
Hook it up.
Coming from an ex-nun. Okay. I'm kidding. I'm a Jew, if you didn't know. All right, when did we start?
So the clock is over there. Whenever you see it, when your story starts, he'll start the clock.
Oh, when my story starts. Okay. Okay, so let's see. I was never really a type to hook up, but I had a girlfriend. She loved dancing in clubs and going to bars and dancing in cages till 4 o'clock in the morning. I used to go with her. I couldn't dance, so I would sit at the bar and just drink all night, like through a funnel. And guys would come over to me, mostly not because I have a cold, very distant way about me. Don't get near me. But a couple did every once in a while come near me, and I would just give my phone number out to anyone that came over. One guy comes over to me. He had a limp. We go out to the car. I get in the car. Oh, Jesus. That was my twitch. I get in the car with him, closes the door. We start kissing. I'm drunk. And then he goes, you know something, let me just get myself more comfortable. And he takes off his prosthetic leg.
Oh.
And yeah, and I was disgusted and I almost vomited and gagged. And I'm, you know, I tried to act like I wasn't horrified and not do the twitch, but I did it anyway. And I jumped out of the car and went back inside and danced in the cage, even though I can't dance at all, like in the zoo.
Mindy Rickles, look at the time. The time is 59 seconds. She nailed the time. Matt Oswalt.
Did you at least wait until they put the leg back on before you
no,
left?
No, I left.
Because
it was really like,
rude,
it was like Vietnam.
Just,
I just left.
It's common prosthetic courtesy
to
wait until he's put the leg back on.
I don't care.
Gina Grad.
Yeah, I respect your honesty. I think that this seems like a plot to a Farrelly Brothers movie, and for that, I enjoyed it immensely.
Kind of David Lynchian, if you ask me.
Yeah. Peter?
Excellent story.
Yeah.
With a complete plot twist, which we didn't see coming.
Right.
Usually I see these things a mile away,
really?
But the leg leg coming off, I never saw it coming.
Yeah.
I'm losing my shit, maybe.
Yeah, that was good.
But that was really good, and she stayed very much on topic, and not a fumfer, nothing. Just boom.
So all the way around, a great start to the game.
Absolutely.
Okay, you guys, one more time. Mindy Rickles, let her hear it.
Very good.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is... all right, you guys, here he is. The next contestant, he's a comedian and an actor. You've seen him on Conan and The Big Bang Theory. And here's a fun fact. This guy, I know for a fact, has run in the last 7 LA marathons consecutively. Unbelievable. Put your hands together for the very in-shape Matt Knutson.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right, let them know what to do, guys.
Thank you. That wheel.
Here we go.
And Christine, I just want to add, the hardest part for me personally about running 7 marathons is slipping it into every conversation that I've had for the past 7 years. Okay, here we go. We're spinning the wheel. It's making that noise. No whammies.
Big
bucks.
Money.
Big bucks.
Big bucks, no whammies.
Did you run the marathon with or without the prosthetic leg? I gotta ask.
Exactly, exactly.
What? Audience. You know, it just gets so exciting right at the top, doesn't it?
It does.
He landed on audience. So now these guys are gonna throw out their suggestions and you take it in, okay. And you'll choose one of those topics. What do you guys want to hear about?
Chafing,
Viagra, zoo animals, what?
Vomit?
Vomit.
Hospital.
Weirdest dream. I like that.
For some reason, weirdest dream seem to...
Does anyone really care about other people's dreams, though?
What?
I don't think a dream can be considered weird because you say, hey, this happened, but it was a dream. Oh, totally possible.
Okay,
yeah. You
want
to do it?
Yeah. Weird dreams.
Weirdest dreams?
What do you think?
I'm good.
Okay,
weirdest dream. Here we go, guys. 1 minute.
I like that.
Okay, right when I heard that I needed to stay on topic for the subject, I realized I wasn't going to be going home with Christine's cookies tonight. I understand that. That's okay. So the weirdest dream that I can actually recall is I used to have a chameleon named Darwin, and I would have this recurring dream that Darwin was actually a giant dinosaur, and that instead of having him sit on my finger, I would actually ride him. And so I would ride Darwin, and somehow we would always plot revenge against my ex-high school wrestling coach, Dave Alexander, because he made me wrestle 25 pounds above my weight class just so that I could wrestle in high school. So I was 160 pounds, wrestled 189. So my chameleon and I would plot revenge, and in my dream... the greatest thing about having a lizard is you can anthropomorphize their face. No matter what you say they are. They're happy, they're pensive, they're angry. But he always had my back in all the dreams.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. All the dreams. Perfect. Did you see that, how he wrapped that up right on the crash?
Sure,
also, too, I want to point out, when I thought there was an audience component to it, I didn't realize it was yell out anything that's not even on the wheel at all. So even coming up with that one was...
So we'll consider that.
Consider that.
Okay, Matt?
And any dream involving a lizard gets points with me. So, that's good, you know.
Interesting.
What is that? What would Freud say about dreaming about a lizard? Shedding your skin, chameleon? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but I didn't go to Kansas. But
How dare you? Gina Grad, what did you think of that story?
I can't believe that bastard made you wrestle 25 pounds above your weight class.
It was incredible. Actually, the guy who ended up, I couldn't beat him out, he went on to be a professional MMA fighter.
Well, you gave him all the self-esteem in the world. You were a little thing, and you were wrestling him.
Did you see Vision Quest before he went to bed that night?
Oh, Vision Quest.
Because I love that movie, you know?
Well, when we would go out before wrestling matches, during home matches, we'd have the center spotlight, and we'd play Lunatic Fringe as we came out and started
stretching. Wow, that's
cool. Anybody
who grew up in the 80s was a teenager. If you went to high school, you're a wrestling team. I guarantee they watched Vision Quest, and they played the soundtrack, like, before every match.
There's
every
no question.
Everyone in the country did,
Okay.
They did. Yes, thank you.
Now, 80s as fuck. And I remember when I first moved to LA, I ran into Matthew Modine coming out of Chateau Marmont.
All right. That's a minute.
That's a sentence.
Peter Melman.
Is there a Matthew Modine topic up there on the wheel?
There should be.
It's under dreams. Dreams come true.
Now, Peter Melman, you are really into sports. I know that for a fact. So maybe you have something to say about. Do you have anything to say about this whole wrestling situation?
I don't know, between the wrestling and the lizard, I'm feeling some serious homoerotic stuff going on.
All right, no, that was throughout.
Make no mistake.
I wanted to. Homoerotic is the baseline for all my stories.
Yeah. you know, it's a tough subject, dreams. I think that's a real, because, you know, dreams make no sense. So, you know, like.
It's vague.
You can't really have a narrative in a dream. I hate the word narrative. I'm so sick of that word.
Yeah.
Do you like branding better?
No.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
The worst word of the
What about trending?
That's all right. So anyway, the wrestling plot twist, you know.
Okay.
A little off, but you know.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I've run. I ran the LA Marathon too. Not there the whole thing. I mean, I just ran through it.
He ran through it.
I was on San Vicente, and they were running, and I just, like, raced through.
Matt Knutson, you guys. Let him hear it. Matt Knutson.
Yeah. Good story.
All right. Coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story. Oh, look at that. It's our audience member. So go ahead, Jim Coughlin. go ahead and give Matt the jar of names, and Matt Oswalt's going to pull out the name who's coming to the stage right now to play the game. And that person is...
Ryan Maskeliak?
Ryan Maskeliak. Give it up for Ryan, whatever your last name is. Way to go. You guys, give him a lot of support. This is not easy to do. This is not easy to do. Here he comes right now. Oh, where is he? Here he comes. Come on up, Ryan.
Sauntering up Ginger.
All right, you guys. Tell him what to do.
Here we go. Yeah.
All right,
Ryan.
Ryan.
Oh, God, already you ruined the show.
Off to a good start.
Okay. Now, that was a big spin. In the future, don't spin so hard. I mean, I'm just saying, if you don't mind. It's so well greased. No,
they
don't
tell
slow
the
it down.
Audience members before Price is Right not to spin the wheel too hard because it'll just keep going for like hours and hours.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Don't literally tell them, guys, don't like, you know, don't take your steroids before you. There we go.
We're almost done. I can feel it.
Yeah, I feel it slowing down.
Ryan, how do you say your last name real quickly?
Maslick. Okay, we all know. Maslick. Oh,
no.
Man.
Oh, school days. Wow.
School days.
School days.
Okay. You used to get pantsed a lot in middle school and high school, and PE class was a popular one, and I remember the time we were doing laps around the gym, and the shorts came down, and I ran away to get out of the gym, but the best one was the swirlies, and I would get swirlied, pants and swirlied, and I remember getting pants in front of the principal's, our high school principal's small school, 200 kids in her high school, in front of the principal's daughter, and she was in the year before me. And all I can remember is seeing her stand. I don't remember if she saw it or not, but I ran out, and then they wanted to give me a swirly. So I was able to scream so loud when they brought me into the toilet. I screamed so loud that one of our teachers came in and heard it occurring, which doesn't really sound too funny or, you know, effective. It sounds kind of sad. And one of the guys that actually pulled the pants down is in the audience as we speak. So I thank and love you for that.
All right. Ryan Maslick. Ryan, that was great. No, stay here. Wow. Stay here. I thought that was a really good story. I mean, I did feel bad for him.
Like an intervention, you know, in a way. He was kind of like dealing with some parts of...
Trauma.
Hey, I got to ask you. I know... Pantsing and atomic wedgies, but swirling, I don't... Why
That's
am I
the
not
worst
familiar with
one.
That one. I don't know what that is.
Swirling is when they lift you upside down.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
swirling
wow.
is when they lift you upside down. Probably need a couple of guys to do it. Yeah. And they flip you over your head, and they lift you above the toilet, and they threaten to dunk your head in the toilet as they flush it.
Oh, wow. God.
Okay, I did not know that.
That's bullying. Yeah, That's serious bullying.
Yeah. Boys are such pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Hey.
I agree.
That had pathos. It was cathartic. It was funny because it seems like you've
cathartic.
Moved on. You've made peace with that horrible moment in your life, and I commend you for that.
Do you want to point that guy out?
He clearly hasn't moved on. He freaking talked about it in front of the guy that did it.
Yeah. I think we should throw things at him.
He was hoping we'd turn on him.
Yeah.
Peter Melman.
See, it's childhood like that that populate Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? People who have nice, well-adjusted childhoods in Connecticut, you know, and they play on the sports teams and everything, they don't come out here. You are the epitome of, you know, like why we're all out here.
Yeah.
So that's why I like your story. Very inspiring.
We can appreciate that. Ryan Maslick, let him hear it. That was a great story, especially for an audience member. Just coming up and he just went with it, you know? I thought it was... He nailed it, is what he did.
I
All right, you guys.
He sends those
Good
boys
job, Ryan.
A fruit basket because look what it gave him.
Yeah, look at that.
Story night.
Exactly.
These kids today with these boring mass shootings, you know, we had swirlies and, you know, all the good stuff.
Yeah, what are they complaining about?
These kids, you know?
All right, you guys, listen, you guys. This next girl coming to the stage, she's a real talent. She's appeared on Broadway in Les Miserables and also opposite Harvey Fierstein in Fiddler on the Roof. She spent over a decade in New York City on stages, singing, and often dying at the end of each three-hour musical. You've seen her on TV shows like Veep, Shameless, and my daughter's favorite show, Disney's Livin' Maddie. Ladies and gentlemen, Rena Strober. Woo. Tell her what to do. There she goes. 1 minute. Now, here's a fun fact. Rena Strober, she won this game a couple of months ago.
Oh, shit.
So she's back.
On.
Oh.
Mom.
Wait, before I start, speaking of mom, I just want to tell you why I'm wearing this stupid fucking hat. I just came from my daughter's 2-year-old birthday party.
Oh, mom.
Yeah, I made a kid. And it was her birthday party. And so this is why I'm wearing this hat. Okay.
Terrible, too.
So far, she's just a little bit of an asshole. But, okay. Mom. I grew up in a house in New York with a dad who's a doctor and a mom who spent all my dad's money. And so she had a fond love for shopping, and we're Jewish, so mostly discounts and outlet malls. So my brother and I were living in Brooklyn about 15 years ago, and my parents live in Middletown, which is about an hour and 20 minutes north. And my brother calls my mom and says, I have, like, excruciating pains to the right, they're to the right. And my dad's like, how far to the right? Really bad to the right. And my dad says, sounds like you have an appendicitis issue, but I don't want you to get surgery in Brooklyn. I want you to come to my hospital. My dad's a kidney doctor. I don't know why he felt responsible for this. But he said, you have to come up to Middletown. I'm sending your mother to drive to Brooklyn. She'll pick you up, and she'll drive you to the hospital. So my amazing mother drove to Brooklyn, picked my brother up. But on the way, she drives by Woodbury Commons, which is the number 2 biggest tourist spot in New York. It's the hugest outlet mall. And she has, I shit you not, she has my brother wait in the car because there was a sweater at Off Saks that she had seen the week before. So she runs into Off Saks to buy the sweater. And my brother survived.
Yeah. Rena Strober, let her hear it. Rena Strober. Peter Melman.
Huh. Your father was a kidney doctor, and your name is Rena.
Yep.
So that's...
fine. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
It's short for renal.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Clearly.
Obviously. Yeah, I would have shortened it, too. I loved your story.
Thank you.
For a 59-second story, incredible character development.
Yeah. Right?
You know, we get the mother.
Yeah.
And... typical middle-class Jewish family. Extraordinarily wealthy.
Yeah. Exactly. And she started off by saying she's a mom. So,
Yeah.
Gina?
Yeah, the stopping at Off Saks at one of the most premier outlet malls in the country.
Premier.
It is right next to Cabazon in terms of echelon. I don't like what she did, but I respect it. I do. I get it. If I had the same issue and it was like a Le Creuset sale, I'd be like, 2 minutes, time me. So I get it.
Matt?
For 59 seconds, that was a very action-packed story. A lot was going on. Yeah. It was kind of like that scene in Goodfellas where Ray Liotta's driving around looking for the helicopters. Like, yeah. It felt like that because that was in Jersey as well.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, did she get the sweater?
She did get the sweater. It was a pink cashmere sweater. And my brother made it to the hospital in time.
See, everybody's fine.
It's okay. Then I'll end it well. Okay. Excellent story.
It was almost burst, so they caught it, and yeah.
Wow.
Sail, child's life.
Yeah,
child's life.
Peter?
That was my New Year's resolution this year, to get more use out of my appendix.
Rena Strober, let her hear it, you guys.
Yeah.
Rena Strober. All right, one more name in the jar for a true one-minute story, and this guy is just fantastic. He's a stand-up comedian. He's performed all over the world, and you've seen him here in the U.S. on Chelsea Lately and on Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm not going to hold this against him, but he's a big Cleveland Browns fan, and I'm from Pittsburgh, but we're still having him on the show. Put your hands together for Johnny Cardinale. Yeah. Tell him what to do, you guys. Oh, I like that. That's a nice light touch. Do you know what I mean? That's a good spin, Peter.
Just enough.
How you do it? Party naked? Break up.
Ooh.
Break up.
Break up.
Uh-oh. Damn it.
I don't know if he can do this in 1 minute.
I don't think so either. Go ahead and start it. This is a true story. It's going to sound totally fake. I dated a girl. She lived on Laurel and Willoughby. And at the time, I lived on Laurel just north of Sunset Boulevard. Okay? And so, it started. So, this is completely true. So, this is years ago. So, she had me, we were going through, like, 2 years in, where things are starting not to work out. She lived with her father and her grandmother. the three of them, right there in the house. They had been there forever, whatever. So she invited me over. We're trying to pass things together. I get there, and I see her father working out with her ex-boyfriend in the room. And I'm like, what is he doing here? And he was a nice guy, by the way, but in retrospect. But at the time, I'm like, fucking pissed. I'm like, why is he here? So I go, that's it. I'm out of here. But she picked me up from my house. So I just said, I'm leaving. And I walked home. So I'm walking home. And at the time, right at Santa Monica and Santa Monica Boulevard in Creston, I guess, there was I'm not even making this up. There was a store that's the store that sold bus. You know, like bus.
Oh, this is tough. This is very difficult, but I want to know the ending.
Me too.
Don't you want to know?
This is not, I'm not making this shit up. So I'm walking home, and I see this store that sells like bus, you know, like the little bus you put like a composer or something like that there. Like, you know, I don't know, they make clay or whatever, and you finish them off, you paint them at home, and there was a Beethoven in the window, just like this. So I went and I go, fuck that. That's what I want to look like for the next year. I was so pissed. I went and bought the bust of Beethoven walking home from the breakup. And then she pulls up. She got in the car and drove it. She goes, come on, let's talk about this. And I'm walking with a bag with a Beethoven bust since the moment I left and we broke up. And anyhow, I walked in with the bust and I had that thing for like 5 years.
Okay. Okay. Wow. So I don't know where that went. Matt Oswalt.
Not very far.
My only question after hearing that story is, do you think Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. can get along this year?
Super Bowl champions.
Okay.
Cleveland. Amen. Greedy Williams 2 days ago.
Yeah, Gina.
You don't really live in L.A. until you have one of those stories. So God bless you.
Exactly.
I'm glad you survived.
I bought a Beethoven bus, motherfuckers.
Thank you.
Peter Melman?
The only city where you could walk around with a bust of Beethoven and nobody will even give you a second look.
No. So true.
Of course, nobody knows who Beethoven is either.
Honestly, I didn't know who he was either. He just looked angry, and that's what I wanted.
I know that, but I know that look. That look of Beethoven.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of cool. He looks.
You sort of got his hair.
He kind of looks. He looks pretty badass.
Oh, Beethoven's the best. He's the best.
All right, you guys. Johnny Cardinale. Let him hear it. Johnny Cardinale. All right. All five names are going back in the jar. I'm going to mix them up. And coming now to the stage, this is a two-minute story, you guys. Gina, what do you think is easier to tell, a one-minute story or a two-minute story?
Well, generally, I would say get in and get out with a one-minute, but I think there's been a little bit of a struggle tonight to really end in time, so hopefully the 2 minutes will help.
I think you might be
excellent
right.
Analysis.
That's a great analysis. Thank you so much. Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is, once again, Mindy Rickles. Mindy. She was first last time. Interesting. Here she comes, guys. Tell her what to do. The lighter spins are working out, don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, the tension. Audience.
Oh, man. See? And this is the fun part of the game. She's landed on audience. The second time tonight, somebody's landed on audience. So we can take the story suggestions you've already heard into consideration. But also, what else do you guys want to hear about?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Orgasms. Butter.
Losing her virginity.
Or did she?
Thank you, Uncle Lou. No.
We weren't going to get into that tonight.
Mindy, right. Mindy, tell us a story about losing his virginity, okay? That's what we want to hear.
What do you guys think?
It wasn't pretty. Ooh. I mean, who doesn't have a good Vegas story in their back pocket?
Oh, yeah. That's so true, right?
With pants like that, come on. She's got to have, you know, with a belt like that. Look at that.
Peter?
She's flashy. She's confident.
What do you think?
Mindy, what do you think, Mindy? Vegas? You okay?
Okay.
Vegas. All right. Okay. Vegas. 2 minutes.
Vegas, yeah.
Here she goes.
Vegas.
Give her a lot of love. Come on, you guys. This is not easy.
Okay. Now. All right. So let's see. I basically grew up in Vegas. I had my crib on the lawn of the Sahara Hotel. You may ask, why is that? And normally, I don't like to mention relatives, but my father was Don Rickles, the stand-up. Okay, so for those of you under 40, if you didn't know who that was, he was Mr. Potato Head in Toy Story. And yeah, see, but he was like an insult comic. And you thanks, Uncle Lou. Wow, you'll get up next. So anyway, no, you think he was an insult comic, that's fun. No, but it wasn't, because can you imagine, like, I was five, okay? Yeah, he could have been, like, why couldn't he be like Uncle Lou, an alcoholic, like everybody else's dad? Let's see. No, so I don't know. You'd think it was great, and it was. I loved him. He was a great dad. But, you know, I don't know. I'd come home from school, and my dollhouse might have a sign on it that said Slumlord. And a date would pick me up, and my dad would look at the guy, and he'd be like, have her back by November. And let's see, this is the face. My husband married me, and he got excited because he heard, you know, I didn't look like my dad. But then on the wedding night, I turned and I went, huh? What? You're going to wear that jacket? Huh? So that upset him a lot. He was like, you know, I didn't sign up for this. And then he found out, you know, there was no money there. There was no trust fund. But let's see. What else happened in Vegas? And my father, he always wanted to say I'm an actress, and I auditioned for Seinfeld a couple of times. And that wonderful Peter Melman, who's here tonight, was one of the people I auditioned for. He came over to me tonight. I didn't get the part. But I love Peter just the same, right? I love him, and he loves me, and we're going to find out later why I didn't get that role. But but no, my dad, he was great. Loved him. Oh,
Mindy Rickles.
Yeah.
Wow, very fantastic.
Good. Very good.
What a great story. I love that. All right, Gina Grad.
Yeah, not only was it a great story, but added value for hearing about one of the most beloved men that's ever lived. Yeah. So that was really
icon,
good.
Icon.
So is he kind of the same at home? Was he kind of had that sarcastic, like in your face, busting your chops all the time?
No, he was like, here's the remote, there's the television. Mindy, get out of the way. Like, yeah. I love you, but get out of the way.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Peter Melman.
You know, once your dad was doing another show on the lot, and I brought Jerry Seinfeld over. He said, we got to go. So Rickles is on the lot. And we go over to the stage where he's on, and he stops in the middle of rehearsing a scene and goes, oh, look, it's Seinfeld. I went to the bank this morning. You were already there. They didn't have any money left.
That sounds right, yes.
Yeah, and then he goes, hold on a second. I have a toy for Shoshana.
Do you get that?
Yeah, that's funny. I did. That's great. That's great.
She was 17.
Yep.
His first girlfriend, 17.
Oh God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter. Why did she not get on Seinfeld? I mean, that's the real question.
You know, you'd be surprised that I don't exactly remember the exact.
What do you mean?
What did you audition for?
Do you remember what episode it was?
I don't know. All I know is, and probably a lot of people won't know, but I remember I did audition for something, and it was like back to back. This was not on Seinfeld. I didn't get the role. Harry Shearer got the part. And if anyone knows, right?
What?
So that's Hollywood. Okay?
Yeah. Mindy Rickles, you guys. Let her hear it. Mindy Rickles. That was fun. That was lot of fun. Mindy's mom, Barbara, happens to be in the back. So on your way out tonight, you guys, say hello to Barbara. Yes,
right.
She's here. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story. Put your hands together for Johnny Cardinale. Woo-hoo. All right, you guys, tell him what to do.
Let's hear with that story, though, right there. Let's hear with our story. Woo-hoo. She's like right on time, unlike me.
Keep an eye on that clock.
Breakup. I've had enough breakups.
Oh, audience.
All right. This is my favorite part of the game. Johnny has landed on audience once again, third time tonight. And so let's hear out some more topics, you guys.
Bank account.
Drugs.
Bestiality.
Bowel movements.
From the guy in the Oxford shirt? What the fuck?
Cleveland Browns,
the guy in the Oxford shirt.
Did we not just mention that Mrs. Rickles is here?
Yeah. Our best friend.
Ooh.
Hospital.
Kidnapping. Drugs, hospital.
Kidnapping.
Trip, butter, orgasm.
First of all, kidnap's a very odd compound word.
He came here from Cleveland, so there's got to be a good road trip story.
Oh, okay, yeah,
sure. Came here from... Yeah.
Road trip. Road trip. 2 minutes.
Road trip is something you
all right.
Know. What do you think? Road trip?
Road trip? That guy? Shit.
All right, big round of applause, you guys. 2 minutes. Road trip.
Okay, come on.
You guys are not going to believe this is a true story. I'm not making this up, and I got 2 minutes, so fuck off! We're going for it. This is absolutely true.
Me and
so
Beethoven.
I don't even curse on stage when I do my comedy, so why am I doing it right now? My dad has been married 4 times. He's got 7 children through 4 wives, okay?
Woo.
So my mom was the first, so my mom and dad divorced when I was 4. I lived with my mom all my whole life. This is about my 4 stepmom. So anyhow,
After my dad's third divorce, he had three young kids, one, three, and five. And he had to work. He had a landscaping business. He needed to hire a nanny. I was 16 at the time. That's how much the age difference is. Okay? So I wasn't part of the whole family that much. He hired a nanny. After I moved to Cleveland, I grew up in Kalamazoo, Ohio. So from Redlands, I'm trying to talk fast so I get to this. And he hired her through a company, but she was an illegal alien. He didn't know at the time. So anyhow, whatever. They sort of, you know, a couple years she was working for him. They sort of fell in love-ish, kind of, I guess, whatever. And, ooh, exactly. And anyhow, she had to go back and visit her family in Merida, Yucatan, near Yucatan, Merida, Mexico, right? So anyhow, she couldn't get back into the country. This is where it's all true. One day my dad wakes me up and goes, let's go, we got to make a drive. I'm like, and I didn't ask my dad anything. I just go, we get in the car. He had a Toyota pickup truck, one-ton Toyota pickup truck. We get in the car, we're driving. I don't even ask my dad. I was just like the nicest kid ever. I'm 16. We drive all the way down to San Diego. We go into Mexico. We drive east in Mexico all along like the Arizona, you know, Arizona's on that side, you know where the mountains are, and Arizona's over there. We're driving all the way. We come back up in Arizona, and then we start driving west, okay? And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. We finally pull over to this rest area. You know where the cactus is now? You've been to Arizona, right? Where the, you know, the mountains right there, you know where the gas is because it's so hot, you look in the gas kind of thing. All of a sudden, out of the rest area, she comes running with this dude, my stepmother. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he hired a coyote to sneak her across the border. This is like 20-some years ago, guys. Yeah, they put a rock under their tongue so they don't dehydrate. We gave her water. I had to get in the back of the truck, and then we saved her.
Wow. That was a great story. Johnny Cardinale. What a road trip. Peter Melman.
Yeah. All true.
Well, maybe not tell that story in Trump's America with all the stuff about, you know.
Is that true about the rock?
What's that? You put a rock under your tongue so you don't drink water when you go up there so you don't dehydrate. It keeps you moist. It keeps your tongue moist. I swear to God. Called coyotes. They sneak you across the border. No, I don't know if you're...
Well, we know that part. It was about the rock.
By the way, I'm not a political comedian, but if Trump was in with the Russians, wouldn't the proof be in the Putin? Come on, guys.
Whoa. Okay, Peter Melman, what'd you think of that story?
I thought so much about more of that that story until the Putin line. But you know, it's good to see that your father's serial marriage has finally paid off for you with a good story. You know, that's a pretty harrowing story. I like that.
It is, and it was a road trip for sure.
Yeah, that's certainly a road. That's a movie. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Was that the last wife, or is that like one of the other four? Like, was she his last wife, or was that?
They
like
had a brutal divorce too. My dad has
brutal divorce.
Brutal divorce. Oh, my dad's had four brutal divorces. He just broke up with his recent girlfriend. I'm not making this up, guys. And I go, Dad, my dad's a Sicilian. I go, he just broke up with his girlfriend. I go, Dad, why? He goes, hey, there's more fish in the sea. I'm like, fish in the sea? You're 74. You're out of bait. We're fish in the sea. We're talking about moving into an aquarium in a few years. You know what I mean?
Gina Grad, what did you think?
Common.
Harrowing, my God.
No doubt.
I felt like I was there. I was schwitzing, talking about Arizona the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like a Dateline NBC episode over here, you know?
Yeah. Josh Mangowitz is going to step out.
Oh, my God.
All right, you guys, let him hear it. Johnny Cardinale. Coming up for a true two-minute story is the one and only Rena Strober. Rena.
Yeah, okay, Rena.
Here she comes. Tell her what to do, guys. Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel, Rena. Come on now.
Yeah, nice spin. I didn't spin it. Audience.
I was prepared. Is it weighted tonight?
I don't know. No, it's not weighted. Audience, what do you guys want to hear about?
First time
having sex. A concert.
First kiss.
Kids' birthday parties. States what?
Stage fright.
Stage fright.
Worst fight ever.
Flight. Worst flight ever.
Almost as good.
Your wedding night.
What do you like? Don't tell my mom.
I still, for some reason, I feel like, because you're Jersey, LA,
New York.
It's probably a good road trip story.
Road trip?
Is that shitty? Or
well, we already did road trip. You can't do that again. Okay, so we got virginity, we've got first kiss, we've got hospital, I heard car accidents.
Hospital?
Is it stage fright?
What do you think?
I heard New York. I heard kids' birthday party.
Yeah,
I heard stage fright.
Maybe I'm in a rom-com mood, but I love the first kiss stories because they're so awful.
Okay, first kiss.
Big
round of applause, you guys. Big round of applause. This is not easy. I had never...
And that's how I got this cold sore.
Herpes. I had never made out with a real Italian, and I wanted my first kiss with an Italian to be in Italy. So about 9 years ago, I was in Fiddler on the Roof, and I had a vacation, and I decided to take myself to Florence because I was going to make out with a real Italian man. So I went to Florence, and I met this tour guide named Fabrizio, and I thought, you, I'm going to make out with you. And he said, oh, hello, would you like to go on a drive with me? And I said, yes. Because I'm going to make out with you. And so we go on a drive in his pickup truck, and he pulls off to the side of the road, and he has a blanket in the back of his pickup truck. And I'm like, that's amazing. Italians are great. So he puts the blanket down, and we start making out. And I'm like, this is my first kiss with an Italian man. And he says, no, I show you how I give love. And I said, there's a lot of foreskin there, and I don't know what to do with that, so let's just make out. And he says, no, I have to show you love. We have to have sex. And I said, no, my plan was just to make out with an Italian man. So he gets mad, and he rolls the blanket up really angrily, and which then I see we're in like a construction site, and there's like dirt and spoons and needles. And anyway, so... The plan was I was going to go to Siena for a few days to watch the polio race, and then he was going to pick me up at the airport, and we were going to spend 3 days together driving around Chianti. So he calls me when I was in Siena, and he says, so how's Siena? Great. You think about the lovemaking? And I said, yeah, no, I just want to make out. Just wanted to kiss an Italian. I don't want your thingy in me. And so he picks me up at the train station in Florence, and I'm getting ready for my 3 days of Chianti, and he says, your bags are in the back seat. I'm bringing you to the train station. And he brought me to the train station, put me on a train back to Rome, and kicked me out of Florence because I wouldn't have the sex with him. And I ended up getting to Rome with 102 degree fever. And you know what?
Oh. Rena Strober.
And the mercury broke in the thermometer.
No, we need to hear the very end.
He gave me strep throat.
Yeah. That motherfucker.
Yeah, right. That's
I
what he gave
did
you.
Not see that coming.
I had to Skype my doctor dad and show him the dots on the back of my throat, and I had strep. And I had no place to live in Rome, and it was horrible.
Thank God he had foreskins.
A lot of foreskins.
Peter Melman.
Wow.
Boy, your father, he doesn't really have time for his own patients, does he? It's funny, you know, Fiddler on the Roof, I remember seeing that show when I was a kid and never feeling so much pressure to like something in my life.
Yeah, try doing it 8 times a week.
Oh, God.
Yeah, someone who's played Huddle at 3 different Kansas City productions of Fiddler on the Roof, I understand. They didn't have another Huddle in Kansas. I knew you wouldn't disappoint with a first kiss story. They never do. They're always so horrible, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was great. Matt?
Would you mind if I pitch this at Lifetime Network tomorrow?
Just don't replace me with a blonde.
Foreplay? No, foreskin. So you were making out with him, and his penis came out of his pants, and you saw that he had foreskin. Is that what you were getting at?
I might have kissed his penis.
Oh.
You buried the lead.
Sure.
See?
And that's how I got strep throat.
It's like Frost Nixon up here, you know, the way I'm questioning you. Where did his foreskin actually come out of here?
In my mouth.
Yeah.
Whoa. Peter Melman, what else do you have to say about this situation?
It just went downhill. It just,
God.
So Fiddler on the Roof.
You really dragged it out of her.
That was
amazing. You dragged.
I kind of pulled it out of her.
You asked the pertinent questions. That was like a good cross examination.
So
it,
no
know?
More
had
Lifetime, maybe Showtime or HBO.
But the fact that we're still talking about this means that it was a pretty good story.
It hooked us. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Rena Strober, you guys, let her hear it. Rena Strober.
Take off that hat. How dare you walk around?
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story is our audience member, Ryan Mazelick. Is that his name? Ryan Mazelick. Where is he? Come on up, Ryan. You guys, this is not easy. Give him a lot of love. A lot of love. Ryan Mazelik. Did he leave? Did he leave? Is he going to have somebody pinch hit for him? You can't do that. You got to tell the story. Here he comes. You're going to go up right now. True 2-minute story. Yeah?
Come on, Ryan.
All right, tell him what to do, guys.
Spin that wheel.
That was a good spin.
Oh, no. Birthdays.
Birthdays. Birthdays. You've had birthdays.
Yeah, I think. How many is the question?
Talk about how your friend in the audience ruined one of your birthdays. Just nail him. Just fucking make him. Just destroy him right here.
God, I wish I got mom.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Was your mom at any of your birthdays?
She was in one.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, nice, Ryan.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
Good night. Can I go now?
You can go now. I gave you 5, right?
Birthdays. Okay.
Take your time. Yeah, go through all of them.
Well. Okay, right into the microphone, Ryan.
Okay,
here we go.
Let's see. My first memory of a birthday was Thomas the Tank Engine. But speaking of birthdays, though, 21.
Right into the mic.
I think I'm a singer. You think I would know that. But,
sing it. Sing the
intro. Sing it.
Yes.
Can I do it in Italian?
Do it. Yeah. Yeah.
By all means.
It's 21st birthday. Had it in the city in Boston where I was living. And drank throughout the afternoon, throughout the day. My first beer, though, my 21st birthday, was a Samuel Adams Boston Lager.
Yeah.
And, that's right. Thank you. And drank all that day, and I didn't tell my dad how much I was drinking, and I don't think he knew that I was drinking that much, which wasn't a lot. But I told him, yeah, I'll meet up. My mom said, you go have a drink with your dad, your father. He really wants, which I could be up here all night with how many times I heard, do X and X with your father, with your father, with your father. So have a drink with your father on your birthday. He'll like it. It'll mean a lot. So I did, and I had a second Samuel Adams. But he thought it was my first. So he thought it was my first, and I don't feel bad about it, but I kind of lied to him in a way, and for no reason, because it's legal. Why would I do that? Boy, this is really getting cathartic. Whoa! But where I'm going with this, I'm going to look to the future for future birthdays. After my 24th birthday, I got diagnosed with Lyme disease. And I got a rare symptom of that, which depleted my liver from being able to process alcohol. So I can't drink, so I'm drinking a Sprite.
All right, Ryan Mazelik. Ryan. Okay. Okay. You know, this is not easy. We know this. These are...
Rite of passage to, like, have a beer with your dad on your 21st birthday.
Yeah.
I think I had one with my dad.
Yeah.
What I was going to say was when I do hopefully get to drink again.
Horrible, horrible father.
When I'm healed, when I do get to drink again, I get to look forward to having a second 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, that's right.
Okay. Peter?
So you will be able to drink again one day?
I've been praying every day.
Oh, man.
Peter?
Samuel Adams with a twist of Lyme disease.
Ah! Yeah, that's good.
Well done.
Gina?
God, I would love to hear a story from you where I don't feel like I hear my heart breaking, but I'm glad you're here.
Well, it could make, he does make you feel better about your own life.
He sure as hell does. Do you happen to know the Italian aria, Nel corpo non mi sento?
No.
Okay, I thought we were going to do a duet. Go ahead.
Do you really sing in Italian?
Sing a little, come on.
Give us anything.
Yeah, please, give us a little.
Give a little, you know. Come on, Gina, join in.
I need the word Spanish. I could do Spanish.
Okay, do that. We don't care.
Oh, let's see. Señor, esta nicha de nombre en la arena. Has dicho mi nombre en la arena. Skip that line.
Just make it up. It's okay.
That was beautiful.
Nice.
That was beautiful. Ryan Mazelik, let him hear it.
No ragu commercial.
That was fantastic. How about that?
That was great.
Okay, this is the final storyteller coming in for the true two-minute story, and then you guys will choose two storytellers to go on to the third round for a true three-minute story. I know you're coming up. He knows he's coming up. Put your hands together for Matt Knutson. All right.
Come on, Matt.
Tell him what did you guys...
I also just want to take a sec. That wheel. I'm going to give it a hard spin so I have time for one of my favorite things, judge banter. Hey, guys.
Here we go.
I like the way that Ryan said that, like, he's going to skip a line in that aria as if someone's going to call him out. Like, you got it wrong. Hold the phone, Ryan.
Pavarotti's in the back row. How dare you? I have never been done insulting. Check, please.
Now, before I open it up to the audience... Christine, I love the show, but this is what's called a homework show, where you sit down and you write at least a couple minutes of 12 different things, and you're not going to see any of those tonight.
Yeah.
All right, here we go again. Audience, you guys, what do you want to hear? What?
What did you say?
First time sex, but he said it like that.
First time sex?
I think they call virginity. Could be that. First job.
First job.
Drugs, that's very popular.
Corgis.
Public... Puppies. Arias.
Arias.
Getting
How about
fired.
A sex story?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, sure. First time sex. Come
first
on.
Time sex. First
Feels
time
like
sex.
Summer camp.
Okay.
All right, you guys, give him a big,
it, man.
Big round of applause.
Dude, man, dude. You don't know her. She went to another camp.
Yeah, big round of applause, Matt Knutson.
Okay.
My girlfriend in Niagara Falls.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. I lost my virginity very, very late in life. I was actually in my... 21. And before I moved to Los Angeles, I used to be a merchant marine. That was Woo! My life. That was my whole story. So one time, my first time having sex, I met this woman and I brought her back onto the ship. And I took her back to my room and we were having a good time. We were having sex. I was really super duper into it. And... it was going well.
Until you told her you were super duper into it.
Yes. Yeah. Then she started kissing my foreskin, and she's like, I'm out! Yeah. Super into it. So, and she was into it, too. In fact, she was so into it, when she had an orgasm, she shit the bed.
Oh. Wow.
I can't believe I said that in front of all these people. I don't know. And yet here we are. So I didn't know what to do. I took all my sheets and I cleaned them up. And I threw them in the laundry room of the ship I was on. And the next day, this guy, Brian, who was the steward, I went into the galley. And he had like a washcloth on his face and some blood coming out of his nose. And I was like, Brian, what happened? He's like, well, Frank shit his bed because he's a drunk. And he threw all the laundry in for me to clean up. So I went to his room and I called him out and he punched me in the face. Sailors are some fucking shady people, everyone. And that was my first time having sex.
Matt Knutson. Wow.
Sure.
Oof. That is difficult, Oof. Don't you think? Matt Oswalt.
So you lost your virginity to Courtney Love?
I did.
Okay, good for you, man. Rockstar, man. Yeah. Total rockstar.
Thank you. It was a performance art piece.
I think I'm going to ask the question that everybody else is thinking.
Yes.
Because somebody has to do it, and I'm sorry to be this guy. In my experience, that doesn't happen. So my question is, did you know where you were putting it?
Oh!
Correct hole.
Really?
Correct
wow,
hole.
It's like a superpower.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Me either.
An orgasm and defecating. Have you heard of that, Peter?
I've certainly never heard of an orgasm on the first date.
Yeah.
I try to, you know, live a life where I'm not going to hear stories like that.
Yeah. Sure. Hey, listen. I try to live a life where I don't tell stories like that.
But it was the first time. It's the first time. It was the first time.
But it had but it had a pretty good plot twist. I have to. I have to say the whole laundry scene was. You know, really makes you, really makes you regret not joining the Navy.
And it's one of those scenarios where you're horrified but still trying to make someone feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Let me just. I'm okay.
It's not okay.
It's not okay.
I'm told this happens all the time.
In all my experience, this always happens.
So the moral of the story is you can touch an Italian man's foreskin and get strep throat, but a girl can shit the bed and what, you get up next day 100 push-ups, no problem at all, you know?
You're back, baby.
There we go.
Wow. Matt Knutson, let him hear it. All right, all right. Now, you guys have the very difficult job of taking these five names and putting only two of the names in the jar. And you have 1 minute to do that. Go ahead, put 1 minute on the clock. These guys are going to make that decision. And two storytellers are going to come up and tell a true three-minute story. But in the meantime, why don't we put our hands together for the amazing Julian in the back on the sound cues. Thank you, Julian. You're doing a great job. I really appreciate it. Also, Julie at the bar. There's Julie. She's adorable. And, of course, Jim Coughlin down here to my right. Jim Coughlin, man, he helps me every single month. And it's not easy. As you see, there's a lot of components to this game. It takes a lot of people to make it happen. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. We're going to be back here at the Improv on Saturday, May 25th. Those tickets are already on sale. You can see Lindsay at the box office. Thank you, Lindsay. Yeah. Yeah. See that? And then we're going to be here June 22nd as well. So two more dates here at the Improv. And then in July, we're going to do our big two-year anniversary. So look out for that because that's happening. And you guys look like you're ready. This is exciting.
Yeah,
are the names in there?
Just why do I got to do that?
Well, put them in here. Don't call them.
You guys read them?
No, don't read them.
Oh, okay.
No, it's all a secret.
Okay.
It's all a big secret.
Okay. I didn't know that.
All right, so this is a true three-minute story. And the first person coming to the stage is the one and only Rena Strober. Rena Strober, here she comes. All right, you guys, here she comes now. Tell her what to do. 3 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Oh. Drunk tank. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Drunk tank.
Yes, ma'am.
A few years ago, I had a very low period in my life where I had no self-esteem, and I was basically just going out with anyone who asked me. And I went to a Shabbat dinner for singles, and this was the ultimate low point in my life, because a Shabbat dinner for singles means you're just ready to marry yourself off to an Orthodox guy. And but I found myself there drinking a lot of Manischewitz wine, because I was so depressed, and I just kept drinking and drinking and drinking, and all these Yoni and Shmuley and Yoshi kept trying to talk to me about how many kids I wanted and did I want 11 or 12, and I just was like, this is the worst part of my life. So I left the place. It was on Pico and Robertson, of course. It was in the hood. And as I walked across the street, I see another Orthodox guy walking across the street, and I had so much wine. I was like, Shabbat Shalom. And he's like, Shabbat Shalom, what are you doing? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, do you want to come and have a Shabbat glass of wine with me at a daycare that I run with my brother that happens to be empty right now? And I thought, why the fuck not? So I go with this guy. I don't remember his name. But again, low point in my life. And he takes me to this daycare that him and his brother run up these stairs. And it's a daycare. And there's a bouncy castle that's deflated. And there's a basketball machine. And I thought, let's see how fucking Jewish this guy is. And I said, I'll make out with you if you plug in the basketball machine and let me play. And an Orthodox guy cannot plug in anything. And I thought, how much am I worth? Am I worth you plugging in that machine? So he plugged in that machine. And I thought, you're going to hell now, motherfucker. And so he plugged in the machine, and we played basketball and basketball. And then I said, if you get the next one, I'll kiss you. And so I kissed him, not his penis, just his mouth. And so we started making out, and he pushes me down on the deflated bouncy castle. And I thought, this is low. I am making out on a bouncy castle. And then he tries to go in my dress, and I have Spanx on, because at the time I, again, very insecure, and I wore Spanx all the time. And he tried to go up, and I said, no, they're like short Spanx. And then he tried to go up here, and I thought, no, the Spanx come up here, but there's a slit in the middle of the Spanx. That's why there's a slit in the middle of the Spanx. Anyway, so we're just making out, and at one point, I think the Manischewitz cleared my head, and I thought, why am I on a deflated bouncy castle making out with an Orthodox guy whose name I do not know? So I thought, you know what? Shabbat shalom, sir. I think it's time I left. And so I put my dress back down and made sure my Spanx were nice and tight. And as I walked out, I grabbed a piece of his mail just because I wanted to know his name. And I was like, oh, David Goldstein. Well, that just narrows it down a little bit. So I leave. And the next morning, I woke up with a sinus infection from the deflated bouncy castle.
Rena Strober. Yeah, put your hands together. Rena Strober, just about 3 minutes and 2 seconds, a couple seconds over, but very, very good. Peter Melman?
Yeah. I'm not a hypochondriac. I don't know why I keep getting sick.
Yeah, you left out the part about, you know, your father's diagnosis.
Dad, I just blew an Orthodox Jew, and I have spots. What do I do?
Yeah, and he wasn't, you know, he doesn't do vaccinations, probably, so he probably got the measles. Well, another gripping story, Rena.
Thank you.
No, I really liked it. You stuck
all right.
It really
all right. Anything, guys? Gina?
Yeah. I ran the numbers, and you might be my spirit animal.
Oh,
I get
God.
You. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, Matt Oswalt.
So, making out. Like with strange dudes is like a Shabbat thing. Is that like something that, you know?
Not traditional.
Because I've seen the Shabbat telethon a couple times.
It's a mitzvah.
Rarely do you see old.
It's a mitzvah.
Okay, okay. It's a mitzvah. Definitely, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you
he
do it on
he did not light your menorah, though, did he? No.
Not my labia menorah.
Oh, wow.
Hey, now.
I was not going to go there. But
hey, now. Rena Strober. Let her hear. Rena Strober. Rena Strober. All right, you guys, one more storyteller coming to the stage right now, and we're going to wrap this game up. And the next storyteller, the last storyteller of the night, her name is Mindy Rickles. Mindy Rickles! Yeah. All right, guys, tell her what to do.
In that wheel.
Here she comes. There she is. It usually is, I'll be honest with you. Just saying.
Wasn't there an episode of Steinbo where they had a Shabbat, like, singles function or something? I thought, I don't know. Peter's looking, not looking at me.
Oh, boy, look at this.
Say, say, say.
Oh. Wow. Mom. Okay, Barbara Rickles in the back. Strap in.
Gee, that's funny that you say that. Okay. Now that you know, okay, let's go. Now that you know my mother actually is more interesting. My mother, okay, she's an interesting woman. She was Miss Venezuela. Don't look at her now. She's aged terribly. I grew up, my mother does this thing when she speaks. I don't know why, but her tongue shoots out of her mouth. Okay, it's some kind of like palsy in her chin. I don't know why it happens all the time, especially when she meets new people. So anyway, my parents, now that you know who my dad is, my parents, their whole life, they live to be on a private plane. Okay, I know some of you haven't been on a private plane, tough. But it's a wonderful experience, and, you know, it's something that only a few can enjoy. I know my husband can never afford that, so it's not going to happen to me again. But anyway, so we used to go on these private planes. Only a couple years ago, we would go to New York, and my parents, I mean, you would think they were about to make love. They were married like 50-some years. As soon as they get in the air in a private plane, they're like tickling each other. I have to look away. I don't want to see any of that. But anyway, so we're coming back from New York on the plane, and we start to take off. And again, my parents, the plane could be upside. I don't like it. I'm like Buddy Holly. I don't like flying, but, you know, they love it. As soon as they're in the plane could be nosediving. My mother, they're thrilled. You know, pass the ball. Anyway, so we're flying, and we just start to kind of take off a little, and I'm noticing, you know, it's a five-hour flight to L.A., and we're just, you know, I'm seeing the tops of the houses for about 2 hours, and it's like I could almost like jump out of the plane and just sit very casually on top of a farmhouse. Like we're not really getting far off the ground, right? And I keep saying, you know, why is this, Mom? It's fine, everything's fine. And so, you know, I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And my dad's manager, who was probably in the mob, but anyway, so he kept saying, Mindy, everything is okay. we're going up, right? And I start popping, you know, the Xanax and all the medications that Rena's father gave me. And I'm popping those for about an hour, and, you know, I'm still very worried and anxious. And my dad's like, keep quiet, Mindy, it's fine, you know. So everything, it's not fine. And my mother's like, you know, this is how we fly. We skim our way to the coast. Okay. Okay, it's not a 1950s Dean Martin Doris Day film, okay? There's no skimming to the coast. Well, finally, we end up landing. And I'm like, what the hell happened? Okay, turns out, actually, that there was a beehive in the one of the engines, and the manager's like, I don't want to tell you, Mindy, but we were dumping fuel for about 2.5 hours. All right, we got off the plane, and somebody knifed me, and, you know, the baggage claim, and that was it. So, yeah.
Mindy Rickles, wow. Look at the time, right on 3 minutes, an amazing story.
I wanted to win a dinette set, no? All right.
That was terrific. Matt Oswalt.
What a death that would have been, you know?
Right?
Yeah, beehive takes down comedy legend, you know? Totally. But your mom and dad used to go on these long vacations with Bob Newhart, is that right? They were
you are correct, sir.
They were very good friends, and they'd go, and I've seen a lot of videos with your mom and dad on going on like the Great Wall of China and all that. It's adorable. So,
yes.
Yeah.
She's still there. Bob's 89 and doing great. No,
awesome.
They're great.
Aww.
They're great.
That's great.
All right, Peter Melman.
Speechless.
Yeah, I'm kind of lost. I'm trying to imagine like myself on that flight, and I would have like not even been here today if I had been on that.
Did they tell you about the beehive when you were on the ground, or were you still in the air?
No, on the ground.
Oh, okay.
Why didn't they land?
They were flying so low.
They had to. Well, there was. They really had to. The pilot, we couldn't land, so he really had to dump fuel.
Yeah.
But the manager knew he couldn't tell me, because I'm a mess.
But if they flew higher, wouldn't the bees die? I don't know.
It's hard to say.
We don't know, Captain.
Gina
Peter,
Grad.
How it works.
Gina Grad. Anything?
Yeah. I feel your pain. There is no way I would have lasted 5 hours
Thank
on the flight.
You.
Did you just pop those Xanax like Pez?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
You know how when you're young and you go to your parents to look and they seemed happy.
Yeah.
Which was odd. No, but I knew something wasn't, because we don't skim our way to the coast.
But that's a great love story that they didn't even notice because they were, you know, driving.
So in love. Yeah. Yeah. Adorable.
All right. About the plane. Yeah. But all right. Yeah.
Mindy Rickles. Let her hear it, guys. Yeah. Mindy Rickles. All right, you guys. This is a very exciting time of the night. You three are going to decide, put a minute on the clock. They're going to choose the winner of Story Smash tonight, and that person is going to be back next month to play again on May 25th. There goes the minute you guys discuss. I also wanted to mention to you guys one more time. Let's give it up for Julie at the bar. Yes. Julian in the back. Jim Coughlin right here. Lindsay in the box office. Everybody at the Improv, I love these guys. We are going to be celebrating our 2-year anniversary this July, so look for that. And also, please head over to the website, storysmashshow.com, and you will see all the people who've played before, all the judges who have played before, lots of cool pictures. Oh, by the way, Danny Zucker will be back next month. I don't know if anybody was worried about that. But Danny will be back. He happens to be out of town right now. And this show that you're listening to will be up on the Storyworthy Podcast in about 3 weeks. So go to storyworthypodcast.com, please. Look for that as well. And also find me on Instagram at Story Smash. Okay. All right, you guys. So now the winner of Story Smash is going to be coming to the stage with these to win these chocolate chip cookies. And Gina Grad, are you going to tell us who won?
Okay, sure. Well, God willing, her throat doesn't close up. We chose Rena Strober.
Rena Strober! Let her hear you guys! Big round of applause for Johnny Cardinale, Matt Knutson, Mindy Rickles, Ryan Mazelik. To my right, Matt Oswalt, Gina Grad, Peter Melman. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night, you guys.